Good morning. This is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and we are gathered together. We're glad to all be here present. We gathered with those who are joining us virtually. So I know that if you didn't know, Jim Polliard has moved, and he is going to be joining us, one of those on the other side of the camera. So lots of us to gather together here. I have to tell you the morning joke. School teacher is doing show and tell, and they're talking about varieties of religion and different faiths. And so she asked the kids to bring something, a symbol of their faith, for show and tell. And the first little boy comes out, his name's Benjamin, and he brings out a Star of David. He says, "This is a Jewish symbol." He says, "My family is Hebrew, and this is the symbol of the Jewish faith." So a little girl came out, and her name was Mary. She says, "I'm Catholic, and this is a rosary. This helps us as a tool to help learn how to pray and all of that." Little boy named Will comes out, and it says, "I'm a Methodist, and this is a casserole." Oh, hallelujah. On the back of the bulletin, some of the announcements of things going on. We are in the midst of lots of different things going on as far as change, and we will be undecorating the church this week, I believe, is on our agenda. So we'll see how that works as we are about doing things with who we have. Want to know if there are any other people, or are there any other announcements that we need to make for the good of the order? Sandy Tenney, would you step into the pulpit and make your announcement about this coming Saturday, please?
The Women of Faith will meet Saturday at 10 o'clock in the parlor. All women at Burns are welcome to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Sandy.
Peter.
Active and foundation crew. Mike, we have a... Oh, please, Mark, go ahead.
So for the ensemble members that are here, we are practicing this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Bring your purple book and your other music, but definitely don't forget your purple book.
Purple book. We don't know what that is, but those of you who know and need to know, know. Deb Gunther, our mission coordinator.
I wanted to remind everybody that this Thursday is the first of the crop fundraisers for 2023. I know it's a week early, but it's at Bubba's from 4 to 8 this Thursday. Bubba's is on Iliff and Parker. Thank you.
No, just tell them you're with crop.
You don't have to have a certificate. You can just tell them. That's what I understand. And you normally you just pay your regular bill, and a portion of that is returned through Bubba's as
right.
Part of a donation for charitable giving.
Just let them know.
Getting paid to go eat. What could be better? It sounds like the casserole joke all over again. Mike, hang on. Ruby, do it into the microphone so the people online can hear us too.
I do wanted to let y'all know that they run a wheel for us. And it cost, I think the last time it was $5, and you spin the wheel, and sometimes you get like half off of a meal or an hors d'oeuvre or something to that effect. So it's extra money we raise for crop.
And that's at Bubba's?
Yes, sir.
I did not know that. I don't know how the Methodist Church feels about gambling, but that's another story. Thank you, Ruby. Jim,
what time does it open?
You what?
What time does the gambling open?
Stay.
Last Sunday, I think, or anyway, great-granddaughter Ava turns 11. She turns 12 the 11th. And the 2nd of January, a few days ago, I can't count that far, I had another great-grandson born. So I've got 10 great-grandchildren.
Amen. Congratulations, brother.
That's all, folks.
That's all. All right. Anything else by way of announcements? I don't want to cut anybody off. Barbara Shaw will be returning as our organist. We're excited for that. Yes, we are celebrating. She'll be coming back. Her husband has had to be put in a special memory unit. She could not leave him. For more than 30 minutes at a time, and has been that way 8 months. And so she made the difficult decision, and she said it was the right one, that it's very good for him. And so he's in a special memory unit. She will be joining us next week. So make sure and come and pat her on the back and, you know, let her know that we care and that we missed her and that we are with her in prayer, and we continue in prayer with her and Frank. Other things, other announcements for the good of the order, things to be aware of. If not, stand up, wave hello to each other. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Will you please remain standing for the call to worship? Praise God who granted us the breath of life and who is present here to greet us. We have been baptized into Christ and share in the mission entrusted to Jesus. The good news of peace is for all people, for Christ shows no partiality. Praise the Lord for the gift of life and the linking of your lives with one another.
So while you're still standing, turn your head notes to page 131. We'll sing We Gather Together.
Our first scripture for this morning is from Acts 10, 34 to 43. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 121. Gentiles hear the good news. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout the Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, but everyone who belongs to him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. By way of our prayer list, you see those listed on the back of the bulletin. Earl Pierce will have a funeral, a celebration of life service. It will be at Horan and McConaty on Parker Road, tentatively set for January 26th. Marianne shared that and then shared that she had also just caught COVID from some of her family who had gathered after Earl's passing. So they need to work through all the different details of everything, and I will keep you appraised of when we can be able to do that. Also, I've talked with Sandy Tenney, who is our membership secretary. And on the 22nd of January, we will take some time during the worship service to recognize the people that we've lost this year. We need to name and just be aware that we haven't had funeral services for several of them, and we need to take a moment as a family. So Sandy will be leading us with that, and if you have anybody that you need specially to be lifted, contact her, but that will be the 22nd. Prayers on the back of the bulletin. Are there other prayers that you would lift by way of concerns? Mike, the young lady to your left, Payap Kalamani, I believe is her name.
Just wanted to share a prayer request from Renee Verone. Her brother-in-law has vascular Parkinson's and is suffering with memory issues. And then also for Renee, who's 6 weeks post-op from her ankle surgery and hopes to be here next Sunday.
Okay, do we know her brother-in-law's name?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we lift the brother-in-law and we lift Renee as she continues to heal from her. She'll be partly bionic woman when we see her again. There are those. Michael, down front here, there's along the aisle. Ruella.
I think he's 98 or 99-year-old uncle died the other day. My favorite uncle and my last uncle.
What was his first name?
J.D.
J.D.
Mm-hmm. Just the initials, J.D.
J.D. J.D. passing and to the Saints, 98,
passing, 99. Quite. And we will be celebrating his life next Saturday over in Cedar Ridge.
Okay.
He lived in Montana, so they had a service for him yesterday in Montana, and they're having one for most of the family on next Saturday. So prayers for all of the family who will be traveling, and prayers for us at that time to celebrate his life.
Okay, thank you. J.D. joining the Saints. Other concerns? I lift prayers for our government and for our elected leaders. It appears to be a more difficult job than it has ever been. And so representing us and being the best that we can be, we give prayers for them. Others. Michael, you should have stayed down there. Larry has something now.
Let us please keep the people in China in our prayers. The government is running ruthless over them, and the people are revolting. They have severe lockdowns, and this latest one is more severe than the COVID-19. But there's other people around the world who are persecuted by their government. So let's pray for all the people of the world that we can finally find peace.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. Thinking globally about people's being repressed. I have to list a prayer for a six-year-old who shot his teacher. That's a tragedy from all directions you look at it. I don't know even where to plug in. But prayers. This was in Newport News, I believe. So prayers. By way of celebrations, let's move to that because there are celebrations are met. Kelly Mack will turn 56 on the 13th. I think that's Friday. Jackie Clark has an anniversary on the 14th. And Carson Burns is going to be 7 on Sunday. So we have birthdays, we have anniversaries, we have celebrations. Do you have other celebrations that we want to lift this morning? Edna, did Sydney get settled in Virginia? Okay, she has been a part of our congregation now, taking a job in Virginia. Going to spread the love across the states. So we celebrate her and we celebrate them. Others, any other prayers or concerns? Please, Sandy.
Today, January 8th, is my husband's 88th birthday. His name is Gene.
I did not have Gene in there.
I was going to say it's also Elvis's birthday.
You were going to say what?
It was Elvis Presley's birthday.
Is it really? Sandy just wanted to fill me in. She wasn't going to say it, but it's also Elvis Presley's birthday. Gene and Elvis, they celebrated together, I assume, yeah. Yes, born the same day, exactly the same day. Well, we won't go any further than that. All right, any others? Let's turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Lord God, hear us as we gather in prayer. Almighty, caring, and loving God, join us in worship this morning that we might praise you. You have promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age, and we are thankful. Gracious Lord, we have come to you with requests and concerns. We have come to you with our deepest prayers. Lord, care for those we do not know, for those who are hurting in silence. Christ, guide us to reach out to all people, brothers and sisters, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation. Awesome, incredible God, Lord of all creation, creator of all that is, Jesus Christ, one with God, creator in all times, in all places. We turn to you. We turn to you as we struggle in our earthly confines to be the people you call us to be. We have had the teachings of the master teacher. Jesus says he walked with us and taught with us and lived among us. And we seek to follow, we seek to see his wisdom and to turn to his guidance. We seek to put aside worldly goals and distractions and cell phones and television and news and all of the other ways that the world tries to interrupt us. And we pause in this time, in this moment, to listen for the still small voice that is you talking to us, Lord. We seek your will. We seek to be your people. We seek peace in the name of the Prince of Peace. As we come, we've lifted concerns for some of our brothers and sisters, for some families, for those hurting. But we've lifted also concerns for peace for the world, for our government, for our nation, for our state. Guide us how we can be the people that follow you in bringing the kingdom among us. As we gather today, we celebrate Jesus' baptism. We celebrate this day recognizing his immersion in the water, the Spirit, and your acknowledgement of him as your beloved Son. Lord God, join us as we are here worshiping. Join us as we leave here to go into the world living and offering Christ. Be with us in all times and all places. Hear us as we come in worship with the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your gifts of your offerings. We continue with the offering plate in the narthex. There is no offertory this morning. That may change come next Sunday with Miss Barbara back in the seat. She will not have had a lot of practice, so we'll let her decide how much and where she wants to be, but we celebrate her. I'll turn to Sandy to bring us this morning's gospel lesson.
Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? It's found on page 3 in your pew Bible. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do not come to me. But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for in us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, to whom I am well pleased. The words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So if you turn in your hymn notes, 454, open my eyes that I may see.
Love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart and illumine me. Spirit divine. Please be seated.
It was Bishop Marianne Swenson who reminded us of the role of early preachers as circuit riders and how many of the hymns were built to be sung on horseback. Open my arms and let me... Can you just hear the tempo of the horseback riding? And you would just sing along. Will, I'm sure that that works the same when you're riding your mower, isn't it? You have that rhythm that gets going on. We don't have that in our automobiles today, do we? Vows and membership and parts of our baptism. We haven't had a baptism here in a little while. It's been a bit. But we pause at this Sunday of the baptism, and this verse that we heard this morning, Jesus has grown to adulthood. We had heard him baptized as an infant, and then his growing years are a blank to us. And now we meet him as he is an adult. We've talked before about John the Baptizer, who has started his own sect, his own group, away from all of society, perhaps. There were many going on at that time. You might have heard of the Essenes. The Essenes, the Sadducees. How many of you have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Okay. Just to help put everything together, there was a group, a sect that had separated itself away and had gone into these caves above the Dead Sea and had a worshiping group separated away from society. And to protect their sacred documents, their texts, they had taken the Hebrew Bible, the Law and the Prophets, the Torah and all of the prophets, and they had written them on papyri and sealed them in jars, clay jars, and sealed them, and then put them in the backs of their caves, and then plastered the walls such that it didn't appear there was anything more, that the cave was empty. And so it was almost two millennia later, in the 1950s, that they discovered these clay jars and opened them and found texts from that period. Intriguingly, there are very little translational variances or conflicts, but here was a group that took those sacred texts and set them away. John's group was also a sect, if you will, a gathering, a religious group with a central core of believing and being. And his baptism was one of helping people clean up their acts. People who had colluded with the Romans, people who had given in to doing things that was not part of the tradition they were supposed to be a part of, people who were doing things because everybody else was doing it. And John would help say, let's get back to being the pure people we're called to be. And that purification involved going down into the river and having all the sins symbolically washed from you, and then being wrapped in a clean white garment and brought out, and you were freed from all of those past sins. Cleansed to begin again and to be a new life, if you will. I need to be careful because he didn't have the power or the ability or the claim to cover the past sins of people. What you've done, he has no control over it. But Jesus comes to him, and apparently John knows enough about Jesus to realize that Jesus has not fallen away to these bad habits and has not succumbed to those temptations and knows who Jesus is. And he says, I can't baptize you. You are the Holy One. I know this. I know that this is who you are. But Jesus insists, do this now to fulfill all righteousness. Because the baptism that John was performing was one of cleansing people to start anew. And that's different than the baptism of Jesus. And so Jesus' baptism that will occur later is partly a rite of introduction to the church. It is one of the ways that we are brought together and initiated to become part of our Christian denomination. We need to be careful and recognize a couple of things. One is that there are two things that I can do that none of you can do or are not supposed to do. And they are called sacraments. Sacrament's a weird word. It comes from the Latin or the Greek. Which is it? Oh, it's the Greek. The word mysterio. Mysterio, isn't that a fun word? But it's a sacrament is something mysterious, if you will. And there are two sacraments in our church, baptism and communion. In the Roman Catholic Church, at one point, there were almost 50 sacraments, things that only the priests could do. And that, of course, had to be reformed and changed, and the Radical Reformation brought that about. But the reason that in our denomination, I am the only one that can do those, or Pastor Neil, as pastors of the church, is to try and make sure we don't get off track for what they mean. It's easy to do something and then each generation changes it a little bit and pretty soon it means something completely different than what it meant in the beginning. And our intent is to try and make sure that we keep it the right thing for the right reason. Does that make sense? Our sacraments are both based on events that Jesus participated in. Communion is very straightforward. He initiated the Last Supper. He did those special rites during the Passover feast. He was baptized in the Jordan, and something happened there. Something important happened, and all the Gospels reflect that something occurred, that there was God's acknowledgement that Jesus was special. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Or you are my beloved Son. Or the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descending, and in some cases, Jesus being lifted up out of the water. All of this is a special event, and they highlight something very important. John didn't do it. These are acts of God. These are something that God is doing. John, as the leader or the officiant, I suppose is the technical term, went through a set of words or rituals or gestures, but then it is God who makes the sacrament holy. We don't emphasize that enough in communion and probably need to do that more so. I try and go through it in a way that is proper and right, and God does the right part. Now, that's important because in baptism, God marks those who are baptized. How many of you remember your baptisms? Okay. Many baptized as infants will not have remembered them. But maybe you made vows. Do you remember making vows during your confirmation or during your entrance? So there are the two ways that that occurs. You make that same commitment. But God is present in the baptism, and God marks all of those who are baptized. Now, it's kind of a funny thing. I have magic markers. We have to be careful what magic markers we have in the house because I have someone who loves to use magic markers and sometimes not always in the best of places. Do you know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Well, there is such a thing as an indelible marker. Now, I've never heard one that is truly indelible, but the reality is that it's possible to make a mark that cannot be erased. And a purely perfect, absolute indelible mark is what God makes on all of those who are baptized. At that instant of your baptism, you are marked clearly as having been baptized by God in God's name. Some people, as they grow older, say, well, I want to be rebaptized. I want to do it over again. And we're not allowed to do that in the United Methodist tradition because God's mark has not dimmed. What God has done is an indelible mark, and we consider it an indelible sacrament. We can renew our part of it. If you were an adult and you made vows of baptism, you said words of dedicating yourself And that's all right. We might need to redo those words periodically to remind ourselves of the vows we made and to recommit ourselves to those vows. It's kind of like making January promises. What are those called? Thank you. The word was just gone from my mind. Making your resolution. Do you, any of you make resolutions, New Year's resolutions? I have resolved not to make resolutions. At any rate, we renew the vows. We can renew the vows that we've made. But God has never given up and has not forgotten and does not oversee that mark. The vows that we make are intriguing, and they have history, and some of that becomes deep theology and history and becomes convoluted beyond our need to explore them. But we need to pause a moment and consider what baptism means and what those vows mean and how at that moment in time we acknowledge whose we are and who is God. And we've reflected that this morning. Sandy read that in Acts. Anyone in any nation who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him. This past couple of weeks, there's been a young man who has called the church and has tried to get a copy of his baptismal record. It's the first time I've ever seen this happen. He is getting married, and they require that he prove that he's been baptized. I have never heard that be the case. What nationality? I want to say Vietnamese. It is some other national Christian group. But he needs proof that he's been baptized. Some churches will not accept your baptism unless you've been dunked. I use that term a little bit in humor. Total immersion is required by the Baptists. In the United Methodist Church, we don't require that. But the baptism that God did, that God participate, and that John did with Jesus is a symbol and a time to acknowledge God with people and people's commitment back to God. We haven't done a baptism in a while, and I thought maybe it's a moment to pause on this baptism of Christ Sunday and reflect on those vows. Because the first question is, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace? When you're standing up in front of a crowd of people and you have a liturgy to read, you read the words quickly and try and concentrate and respond when everybody else doesn't. But time to pause and read those words and think about them. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. Do you believe that? If you do, and if you put your trust in Him, that's the requirement that God requires of you. So that's who and what we are and whose we are. I contemplate that, and I contemplate how that works out in the world. There are those that you've heard that every sin can be forgiven except sins against the Holy Spirit. It is a way of saying, if you reject God, it doesn't go well for you. This is not a matter of God all of a sudden erasing the mark God has made or putting a check mark next to your name that you get an F or flunking you or anything. God doesn't react, as far as I'm aware, in any way. But people can turn away from God. They can reject God. Free will is there. And then they are alone. I was thinking about this in preparing the sermon, and I was thinking about people that I see in the world around me floundering, maybe drowning. They're in the water and they're barely treading water, and they're trying to make it, and it's not going so well. And God is reaching out to them to help them. but they're not grasping back. God is there always. God will never not accept someone. But when they reject the Holy Spirit, when they push God away, they have distanced themselves. This free will thing is kind of a tricky deal, isn't it? It's kind of fun when you want to be able to do all your... How many of you remember that when you became a teenager, first time you had your own place? Wow, no more mom and dad's rules. Free will. Yeah, I had that moment, and then it was, gosh, I got to pay the bills too. And gosh, those rules still apply to me of different things in different places. Free will is a good thing, but it requires of us to make that vow. Having not had a baptism in a while, I thought maybe we would just repeat them. Are you up for that? Just to see the vows, if you don't want to respond or you don't have to say anything, but I'm going to have Pia put them on the screen. I'm going to have a stand. Let's stand up and let's repeat the vows that we make at a baptism. If you will, if you're willing, please stand. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? We will. This is about us. This is about God's people, God calling to us. May we respond and may we offer God to the world. Amen? Since you're already standing, let's sing, shall we? Mark, will you lead us? Number 395 in the hymnal. Take time to be holy.
Service above.
The baptism of the Lord, a celebration of Jesus' beginning in our world as a human being among us, leading us, guiding us, and God's ordaining and marking him. I hope that you pause and reflect on the mark that is on you, has made it your baptism that is always with you, as bright as the moment as it was made. And as now we come and we gather and we go from here, we turn to those fountains of love that we sang about. And may we be agents to offer those in the name of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit to all we encounter. Amen? Amen. Let's join hands and sing our closing. People said, amen. Yeah.